You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast, recorded live at our Manchester campus. For more information, visit audaciouschurch.com.
Good morning, everybody. Hello to everybody who's watching online. Why don't you turn around and wave to everybody that's watching online and say good morning to you wherever you are in the world. Why don't you put in the chat where you are watching from. Just want to just jump on the back of what Keith was saying there about missions. Missions, I've been on several missions over the years, and they each one has stretched me, challenged me, but changed me. And I would recommend anybody and everybody to go on mission, because mission is not about us, it's about the people that we go to serve. And what we do when we go on mission is we bring heaven to earth, and we bring the kingdom of God to the place that we go, and we see the things of the kingdom of God in that place. And so I would recommend mission to each and every one of you. Don't just have it as a good intention, make it an absolute in your life that this is what you are going to do this year, and if not this year, definitely next year. Set it as a goal. It's great to be with you this morning, and I just want to get this out of the way. It's my birthday. Thank you very much. I've celebrated over the last few days, so I was focused today, and I'm not thinking about, hey, it's my birthday, why am I up preaching? Like, I shouldn't be up preaching, it's my birthday. So I've kind of taken that away. For the last several birthdays that I can remember, the last couple of birthdays, actually, I've not really celebrated, or in between that, because we've been renovating a 300-year-old cottage. So my birthday has been about being in rubble and being in decoration. And Catherine saying, right, it's the beginning of the year, let's get on with renovating and restoring. Like tomorrow, for instance, I'm not really celebrating my birthday, I'm going out buying a bath. Found a bath, gonna go and buy it, because it has to be a certain type of bath. It can't just be any bath that you can get off the shelf at B&Q. It's gotta be a certain type of bath that you cannot get anywhere other than Dewsbury. So that's where I'm going tomorrow, to get this bath. So think about me and Catherine as we carry a cast iron bath down someone's stairs into a van and take it back to our home. And just think about us. Pray for us. Just pray for our marriage. Pray that everything is okay there in that as we do that, because I've found this bath and it's going to be a good bath. And that's what's happening tomorrow. And then also, just I was going to put some pictures up of the renovation, the restoration, but I thought I can't do it because it'll just do my head in. I'll just get all overwhelmed with me and my brother removing a 300-year-old wall and it falling down. And me going, oh, what are we going to do about this, Stephen? It's coming down. It's all coming down. And him just being up to his knees in rubble as we're thinking, is my house going to fall down? And just thinking about that detail and getting lost in that and thinking, oh my goodness, why have we done this? Catherine, why did we buy this? Why did we even attempt to do this when we've got all this to do? And just like getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. And in those moments, I've got to go back to the architect's plans. In those moments, I've got to take myself out of this overwhelming sense and go to the architect's plan and see the bigger picture of what we've bought and what it will come. Like, instead of zooming in, I've got to zoom out and see the bit, and think about being sat around a dinner table looking out onto a field, because we live quite rural, into that environment, and just being there with my children celebrating what we've done and then what we're a part of. But if I just focus on that, I'm like, get smaller and smaller. So I've got to take myself out, and I've got to have a conversation with the architect. I've got to have a conversation with Catherine, who is visionary, and she'll talk about the bigger picture of it. And that can be a sense that we need that, don't we? We need, often in life, we need to take ourselves out of our littleness and have someone who brings us into a bigger sense of thinking. Not several years ago, thank you. When I was a child, I used to play football, and we trained three times a week, and we played on a Saturday, we played on a Sunday, and it was just, as a child, it became quite overwhelming. And I was just like, I can't be doing this. I can't be doing this. And I said to my manager, he was called Arnold. He was an old school manager. He used to wear the big sheepskin coat and he'd walk around. And like one training, we didn't use a football. It was all about our cardio. And we had to lie on our backs with our feet in the air for a minute and do all things like that, do the plank. And I'm just like, I'm like 11 years old. Why am I doing this? I just want to do something else. So I got all about me and how it affected me and I didn't want to do it. So I went to him and I said, I don't want to do this anymore. And he was like, fine, that's fine. So I left the football team. Then a few days later, there was a knock on the door and it was Arnold. He was there. And I was like, Mum, don't let him in. Mum, don't let him. No, Mum, don't let him in. And my mum let him in because she didn't listen to me. And he came in and he started to talk about to me about the bigger picture of the football team. He started to talk to me with he still had his big jacket on. He must have been absolutely boiling in our house. He had his big jacket and he's talking to me about my role within the team and what I brought to the team. And he lifted my head and my thinking. He started to talk about winning the league and winning the cup. And that was his goal and that was his aim. And he needed me in the team. And he lifted my head so that I stopped thinking about me and I started to see the bigger picture. And we need that in our lives, don't we? Like, have you ever had a conversation with someone who has lifted your thinking, who's changed your view on things, that you go in with all your moans and your whines and kind of like everything that's a problem and everything, the house is falling down, I've got to train for this. We've got, like, if you've got exams, I've got to revise and I've got to do X over Y and where does that bracket go and what does that mean in English language? And it's like, we can do our exams or even in our job, that it's just monotonous day after day after day and we forget and we need to have a conversation. We have a conversation, if we're doing exams, we're going to have a conversation with someone who says, hey, just lift up your head and start to see the bigger picture of where this takes you. And I was thinking about this, the conversations that you and I need to have, or the conversations that you've had. You're thinking maybe right now about the conversations that you've had with someone where they've lifted your head. Catherine, my wife, she's a head lifter for me. I'll go with all my moans and my whines and she'll lift my head. And she'll say, we need to see the bigger picture of what God is doing in this, of what he's said to us through this, and what he can work in us and for us and through us. And it changes your thinking when you have a conversation with someone. So I was thinking about this message as we talk about this concept and in this series of teach us, where the disciples went to Jesus and said, teach us how to pray. Last week, Pastor Mishek talked about the posture of prayer. This week, we're going to talk about the purpose of prayer. What is the purpose of prayer? And then next week, Pastor Glynn is going to finish the series off with a message that he's bringing for us as a church to catapult us into 2020-25. It's going to be absolutely phenomenal. No pressure on me, Pastor Mishek last week, me in the middle, and then Pastor Glynn next week. I'm like, great! But hey, it's not about me. It's about what God is going to speak to us right now through what I'm about to say. So let's just stand to our feet as we just read the Lord's Prayer. It says this in Matthew 6, 9 to 14. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people, then when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. We're going to look today at the purpose of prayer and what it means to step into pulling the purpose out. Take your seats. And I've shared about my cottage. I've shared about the conversation. I've shared about all those things. I want you to have a thought about this, a conversation with the King. That what we do and what we need is we need to step into a conversation with the King. The disciples, I really feel the disciples saw this. They saw Jesus go in his prayer life, that he would then come out of that and things would change. There would be incredible things happen as Jesus had a conversation with the King. And that's what possibly led the disciples to say, teach us. In Scripture, in Mark 1, 35 to 37, it says this, very early in the morning while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they explained, everyone is looking for you. There's this moment in history where the disciples were looking for Jesus, but he'd taken himself off and he'd gone and had a conversation with the king. And from that conversation with the king, incredible, amazing things happened that we see from Jesus' life. And the disciples would have seen this, that when he prayed and then went about his day, audacious, incredible things happened. Healings, miracles. He was empowered, encouraged, equipped, and ready. He was aligned with the Father's will. He hadn't necessarily gone with all his moans and his whines. He'd come out of that and he brought what we see here. He'd brought heaven to earth. He'd brought the kingdom of God to earth, and the disciples saw that and they wanted to be a part of it. And what I want us to do this morning is just to press pause on our requests, which are important. The things that you've got going on, the things that are in your heart, the things that you want to talk, they're all important. But I want us just to put a pause on our requests. And I want us to think about this thought. Think about this thought that when Jesus went into the presence of God early in the morning, when he stepped into the kingdom of God, when he was having a conversation with the king, when he came out of that, he brought heaven to earth. He brought God's kingdom. He brought healings, miracles. He brought supernatural signs and wonders. He brought love, forgiveness, restoration, grace, mercy, truth, peace, joy, direction. That he brought that from his prayer life, from a conversation with the king, and he brought that into our world. He brought heaven to earth. That when we have a conversation with the king, we bring heaven to earth. So the purpose of prayer is to bring us into God's presence, draw us into his kingdom, so that then we bring heaven to earth. That you and I can step into that, and from that, we can do what Jesus did. We can bring healings, miracles, supernatural signs and wonders, love, forgiveness, restoration, grace, mercy, truth, peace, joy, direction. In your world, you can bring heaven to earth. Who wants to bring heaven to earth? Who wants to see all the things that Jesus saw? Who wants to see those things that you think I can in my workplace, in my school, in my college, on my street, with my neighbor? I can see heaven here on earth. The things of God's kingdom here. What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is eternal. It says this in Psalm 145, verse 13. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The kingdom of God is transformation of heart, mind, a way of believing and living in preparation for eternity. That we are getting ready for eternity because the kingdom of God is eternal. The kingdom of God is good news. It's the good news of Jesus. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease. I nearly said Denise then. Healing every disease and sickness. If you call Denise here today, you're going to get healed. Your healing is here today. That's a Holy Spirit slip right there for you. Just on there, in Jesus' name, amen. Healing every disease and sickness among the people. Good news, anyone can be saved, restored, and have a relationship with the Father. Jesus, the kingdom of God is good news. It's the good news of salvation. It's the good news of miracles. It's the good news of healing. It's the good news for everyone, not a select few, but each and every one of you. Your friends, your neighbors, your work colleagues, your family, that when we bring heaven to earth, we're bringing the good news to their lives so that what? They can get saved, that they can have salvation, that not that they're all sorted and everything's done for them, but they can say yes to Jesus like you've said yes to Jesus, that we don't want to be insular with the good news, that we want to bring it into our worlds. The kingdom of God is righteous, peace, and joy. Romans 14, verse 17 says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness, living right with God. Peace in all circumstances. Who needs a bit of peace? You know, we need peace. Peace in all circumstances. When things aren't going as we expect or the way that we wanted, or things are happening around us, that we step into the presence of God and we bring the kingdom of God, that we bring peace, not just for ourselves, but you bring peace into your workplace. What, wouldn't it be amazing? How incredible would it be is that if your office or your environment said, when you arrive at work, peace. When our young people go to school or in university, the stress of exams, but when you step into that environment, peace. Doesn't take away the fact that you've got to study, you've got to do the hard work and put the hard graft in, but peace. That's the kingdom of God, and we're the ones who can bring it. The kingdom and joy, that we actually bring joy into an environment that can be so sad sometimes, but we can bring joy in all circumstances because a conversation with the King changes everything. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is all authority. The kingdom of God is all authority. Psalm 103, verse 19. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens and his kingdom rules over all. Just listen to this for a moment. I know you're listening to everything, but listen to this. Jesus brought the power and authority of the kingdom, tangible miracles, signs, healings, and deliverances. Each time he announced the good news of the kingdom, sin, sickness, demons, poverty, and death could not remain. All authority. That when we spend time in his presence, the purpose of prayer is that we fix our eyes on Jesus, off on the King, off ourselves, and step. And when we step away from it, we bring heaven to earth, all authority. So sickness, no authority. Sin, no authority. Poverty, no authority. Demons, no authority. All authority. Not just a little bit. It's not shared. It's not given to anybody else. It's all authority. Jesus didn't say some authority is given to you, maybe a little bit of authority, but he said all authority. There's no negotiation. There's no kind of negotiation with the enemy. He has no authority because Jesus said all authority. Now, I'm not an English scholar, but I think all means all. I don't think there's any kind of margins to it of, well, maybe about this. And maybe it's teachers in here or people who know English better than me. You'll agree with me. All means? What does all mean? It means all authority. And Jesus brought that. Prayer steps us into the kingdom, enabling you and I to bring the kingdom to earth. The purpose of prayer is to bring heaven to earth. That's the purpose of prayer, that we step into that. And maybe we step into that. And I believe God's okay with this. We step into that with me. And I go to, maybe not you, maybe it's just me. That I go to God and I'm like, God, my house is falling down. It's not. My house needs this doing. I need to find this bath. Facebook Marketplace hasn't got it. That guy said he did have it, but now he's not got it. And it's an absolute pain that he's not got that. And it's not fair because he should have that, because you should have sorted that out for me. This is going on over here. I've got that. I've got a parking ticket. Why should I get a parking ticket when I'm a child of God? Hey, anybody with me on that? If I park, my car should be blessed and done there and not. And when I see the parking attendant, love parking attendants, they should show favor on me, not make me abide to the law. And I'm like, God, this is not fair. But this is what God does. And I go in there and I go with my whinges and my moans. And it's like my conversation with my football manager. He listens and he nods and he takes it all on board. And he says, yes, yes, all that is happening. But then he goes, lift your head. He whispers, there's a bigger picture. There's a kingdom. There's more. Take your eyes off you and put your eyes on me. Because that's the problem. We are inherently selfish. Well, I am, not you, because you're not. The purpose of prayer, when we step into that, is to change your thinking and enlarge it. Because human nature is self-centered, it is self-focused, it is self-leaning, it is selfish. It is me, mine, what's in it for me. And we go to God with that, and he's happy with that. It's the flesh warring continually with the spirit. What I want, what I feel, what I think, God needs to do this for me. And what God wants us to do is he wants us to take, he wants to lift our head. This week, I was driving and I was mad with God. Things weren't going my well. I got a parking ticket. Other things had happened. All these things had happened. Catherine's like, did you? I'm like, yeah, it was a few weeks ago. You actually, no, it was me. And I'm like, God, and I was mad with God. I was annoyed with God. And I think that's okay. I was shouting at God. I was like, this isn't fair. And I was in his presence, but I was telling him all my woes and all my problems and everything that was not happening and everything that should be happening. And I went to get out of my car and I opened the door and the handle snapped. I'm like holding the handle and I said, this is another thing that you have not sorted out and you have done that. This is your fault. He didn't say anything back to me. I'm like, and now you're not even talking back. You're like the father who just nods and smiles. And I'm like, I'm mad. And I'm having to wind my window down, open the door, get out of the car, get back in, and then forget. And I'm like, this is just not fair. And then this song came on my, not, I was going to say on the radio, on the CD player, but on my phone, on Spotify, and it was available. I'm like, no, I'm not. Absolutely not. You can push off with that one. I am not available in this moment. I've been available for the last 20 years, but right now and going forward, no. Just me. I'm like, no, I'm done with this. And then this next song came on about the power of God. I'm like, oh yeah, right, yeah, but no, handle's broke. Yeah, you can fix that and you can answer that and you can part the seas, but you can't glue my handle back on so I can get out of the car. And then another song came on, and then another song came on, and then I remembered this word that God gave me years ago about trusting the Lord with all your heart, because it's approaching my birthday, and my mum wrote it in my card at 17, and it's inscribed on my ring, and I started to spin. I'm like, okay, God, I'll trust you. I don't want to trust you, but I'll trust you. Do I have to trust you? And I'm spinning my ring on here. I'm spinning my wedding ring, and I'm spinning that, and it's got that. And I'm like, God, I trust you. And he was enlarging my thinking. He started to show me things in the future. He started to speak to me. He started to talk about the things that I'd been and the things that I'd seen and how they were going to be greater in the years to come. He started to connect me with that, and he lifted my head and he changed my thinking, because we step into a conversation with the King. And even though there's pain in it, and it can be pain in it at the moment, Catherine's mom, dad's here, his wife, she's in, what's it called? Palliative care. She's got Alzheimer's. And you can think, God, why? And you can be annoyed with God, and you can think, but then you start to hear the stories of a dad as he walks the corridors of the nursing home, and he prays for people and he leads them to know Jesus. And then the next day they step into heaven, and you're like, hold on a minute. That doesn't make sense, because we're experiencing pain. But when we step into the things of God, he lifts our head and he says, there's a bigger picture to it. There's a bigger plan to it. There's a bigger purpose. The purpose of prayer is to align us with God, his will and his ways. A conversation with the King will do that. Jesus, in that moment, we know, and I'll tell you that when Jesus, his role on earth was to seek and save the lost, you and I, to reconnect us with the Father. But his mission was to go to a cross and die a horrible death and then rise again 3 days later. There was a moment just before that he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he prayed these, he was having a conversation with God, and he was saying, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. This is my paraphrase. I don't want to do it. And then he gets to a point where he says, but not my will, your will be done. That in your life and in my life, we get to a point where it says, not my will, but your will be done. Because the purpose of prayer is to align us with God's will and to bring us into God's will, that we can go with how it's going to affect, that Jesus was going to get tortured, that Jesus was going to get beaten, that Jesus was going to get humiliated. And he could have said, okay, I'm not doing it because I'm not facing that. But he didn't, because what did he do? That God showed him, his Father showed him the bigger picture of you. Imagine that Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane and he sees Cuzzy. He shows 2,000 years later that Cuzzy and George will be sat here, that Lincoln and Pamela and Lorenzo would be sat here. He shows the future and says, it's a bigger picture. And Jesus says these words, not my will, but your will. Because when we say your will, when we say his will, amazing, incredible things happen. When we make ourselves available to the things of God, amazing, incredible things. When we say yes to him, great things happen. So coming into his presence, the purpose of prayer is to align us with his will. The purpose of prayer is to bring heaven to earth. Jesus brought heaven to earth. The purpose of prayer is that we go and have a conversation with the King, and we take, our eyes are taken off us because our thinking is enlarged. Our hearts are aligned with him so that we can say yes. And then what we do is that as we come out of that, we bring heaven to earth. That we see things like the sun standing still, the seas parting, the lame walking, the deaf hearing, the blind seeing, the dead rising, the love conquering, peace prevailing, joy consuming, hope never ending, societies changing, lives transforming, because we're bringing heaven to earth. when we went on mission many, many years ago to Ukraine, and we were doing this large event, 400 people had gathered, and the heavens opened and it started to throw it down, and which means it started to rain really hard. And people started to go, and myself and our friend Rob Snelson, Rob and Sarah Snelson, we were on mission with them. And me and Rob, we went, Rob's doing home at the moment, and we went and we prayed, and we were like, God, do something. And we were praying about the rain stopping and the clouds parting. And as we looked up, the clouds parted. The sun came out. It was a miraculous, supernatural moment that is inscribed in my thinking, in my mind. I can see it right now. I can see the building behind me. I can see the people looking up as we said, look, the sun, and it parted. Those are the things that we bring heaven to earth, kingdom thinking, radical things in our schools, in our workplaces, in our universities, in our homes, in our streets, that from a conversation with the King, we step and we bring heaven to earth. I remember as well years ago when I worked for my local council, and we were just in the office, and my manager came in and he just explained to us that one of our colleagues had been diagnosed, that's the word right there, diagnosed with terminal cancer. She had cancer in her jaw, in her face, and it was spreading. And he said, Darren, we know that you kind of do that church thing. Can you pray for her? And I was like, yeah, I'll pray for her. Carrying on working. He was like, can you pray for her now? And I was like, what now? And in that moment, as I look back, that was the moment. It was either yes, I'll do it, and it's your will, God, or no, my will is I'm not praying. But in that moment of submission, and looking back now, it's bringing heaven to earth. And in that moment, I stood up and I said to everybody, just stand up with me. And I prayed a simple prayer of God, you are Jehovah Rapha, which means you are a God who heals. And I pray for Irella that she will be healed in Jesus' name. And then I sat back down and I started typing again. 6 months later, she'd been through all the process of chemotherapy, and then she came into back to work. She retired, but she retired in remission, on good health, miraculously healed, and not in terminal cancer. And I'm like, wow, heaven on earth. Can you imagine? Church, can you imagine? Like, there's hundreds of people in this room. Can you imagine you and I not stepping into prayer as a what's in it for me, but stepping into a prayer of God, what are you going to do through me? What are you going to do through me? Now, you might be thinking, as I was thinking, oh yeah, okay, I can do that, but what about me? What about me? Because I do have needs and wants and things that need to happen. I have got these problems and issues. My mum is poorly. My job is rubbish. I need a change. And so, yeah, God's interested in that. He wants to know all these things. The Bible says, cast all your cares on him. Why? Because he cares for you. He wants to know what you're thinking. He's not big and bad and mean and going, no, it's not about you, it's about me. He's like, tell me. He says, come to me, all those that are heavy burdened and weary. He wants to know your petitions and requests. And so he's bringing you in. But in that, he wants to enlarge your thinking. He wants to align you with his will. And he wants you to bring heaven to earth. This scripture in Matthew 6, 31 to 33 says this. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all those things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. There's the promise that we can go to God with all those things. We're in his presence. We have a conversation with the King. He lifts our head. He enlarges our thinking. He wants to know all these things, but he says, if you seek my kingdom first, if you bring heaven to earth, I'll look after your family. I'll look after your kids. I'll look after your finances. I'll look after your wife, your husband. I'll look after that. I'll make sure that you're okay. You might have to go through some stuff, but I will be with you. I'll walk with you through it. I'll talk with you through it. I'll support you through it. I will not leave you. And what we will do is we'll bring heaven to earth. It's a conversation with the King. The devil, he wants to keep you from that. I really feel it's right, as I was prepping that this message, to say this, that we can get, yeah, okay, this is great and this is good, but we have an enemy who's after our soul. He's warring against us. And this enemy, he saw Jesus go to prayer and he saw heaven come out of it. He saw the disciples go to prayer and he saw heaven come out of it. He doesn't want to see you go to prayer and he doesn't want to see heaven come out of it. He wants to keep, because he knows what heaven's like. He knows what the power of heaven, he knows the purpose of heaven. He knows that and he doesn't want that in your world. He doesn't want it in your school. He doesn't want it in college. He doesn't want it in the workplace. He doesn't want it on the streets. He's like, no, just go to God with your moans and your groans and keep it there. Because when we start to go to God and have our thinking enlarged, when we align our will with his will, and it's not what we want, but we know it's what he wants, heaven comes to earth. The lame will walk, the deaf will hear, the blind will see, societies will change, lives will transform. All those things will happen because we bring heaven to earth. The enemy doesn't want that to happen. We want to see audacious things. Sin, sickness, demons, poverty, driven out, healings, miracles, supernatural signs and wonders, peace, joy, strength, transformation, stories, your stories. Stories from your work, stories from your world, stories from your street, stories from you, where you come and you say, hey, this happened, where you share in your small group, where you talk about the things that you've seen, the migraines that have gone, the depression that is lifted, the anxiety and fear that is replaced with love, peace, and joy, where you talk about this, where we have hundreds of people being baptized, telling the story of heaven meeting them because the good news came from you. But we see those things. And it becomes not about us, but it becomes about the kingdom. That yes, you are valued, just like he says, the birds, he knows them, he clothes them, and you are much more important. But what is more important is that we walk and step into a conversation with the king and bring heaven, so that you and I tell the stories of brilliance, the stories of greatness. Can you imagine? We can bring heaven to earth and we can see heaven on earth. Can you just stand with me for a moment? I really felt as I was prepping and this morning as I was praying that when we grab a hold of that purpose to bring heaven to earth, this thought just kept running in my mind about these many people in here who God's speaking to you about doing something, about going somewhere, about changing something. And he wants you to say yes to it. There's no pressure, he's not forcing it. But he knows that when you say yes, great things will happen. Like when he came to Mary in the New Testament at the Christmas story, and he said, the angel said to Mary, you will bear a child and his name will be Jesus and he will be the Savior of the world. And she said, do unto me as you will. She could have said, nope. But she said, yes. The rest is history. Jesus, the Savior of the world, the reason that you're sat here is because Mary said yes. We can step into that point of our prayer life. And we can all be about the moan and the whinge and the whine, and God can lift our heads and he can start to talk to us. Five, 6 years ago now, me and Catherine were considering having a third child. We had two children already, a third child, and we were just talking it over, walking through it and just saying, what would that mean? A bigger car, a bigger house, you know, an extra seat on a holiday when you go in, you know, all those things. It's just added cost, isn't it? And you're thinking all those things. And we were praying and I really felt God say this to me, I want you to adopt. I was like, wow, that's different. And we could have said no to that. And we could have been like, no, my will is this. But there was a bigger purpose and God knew what that was, and it was his will. And many of you will know Hope, our adopted, incredible daughter. who, when we saw her, when we first met her, when we were taught to the social worker about her, our eyes met across a picture of her, and we were like, God, and God was like, this is the one. The Bible doesn't say how children come to you, it just says that they are a gift from God. She is a gift from God. She is our child. She is incredible, she is amazing, but it came out of a conversation that we weren't thinking about, that we didn't even have an understanding or acknowledgement of, but in a moment where we were separating from our will, God said, this is my will. And there's a bigger picture to it. And that's, I just really felt today for many of us that God's asking you to do something. And maybe you've been stepping away from it. Maybe you've been like, oh, I'm not sure about that. But all we have to do is say yes. And the great things of God that we might not yet see or know are going to come from it. We're going to sing this song in a minute, Available. And during this, is it just a moment for you to respond? Just in your heart and your mind of saying, okay, God, I recognize what you've been saying. And it's a yes. Church, let's adopt the position of yes with God. I want you to go here. Yes. I want you to do this. Yes. I want you to speak to this person. Yes. I want you to pray for this person. Yes. I want you to share the gospel with this person. Yes. I want you to give this. Yes. That we align ourselves, that we enlarge our thinking, and that we see heaven on earth because we say yes. Decision right now is yes. My position is yes to Jesus. My position is yes to God. What he asks, I'm saying yes. There's another yes in our lives. Many of us, everyone on stage that you've seen, have said that yes. We've said yes to Jesus. to know him and to follow him, to, as the Bible says, to be saved. We've recognized our need for a savior, and we've recognized that that savior is Jesus. The Bible says, and I mentioned it, that Mary, she said, do unto me as you will. And the angel said to her, you will bear a son and he will be the savior of the world. That Jesus is the savior, and each and every one of us needs a savior. You need a savior. You need to know that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That this heaven is our destiny, not hell. That we can make heaven our home, and right now you can make heaven your home. And this is this moment that if you want to know and follow Jesus, you might not understand it all completely, but he's knocking on the door. He's knocking on the door of your heart, and he wants to come and make his home in your heart and reconnect you with the Father. And if that's you, I'm going to count to three. This is what God wants. He wants to know you as his son and daughter. When I get to three, I just want you to pop your hand up and you will go on an incredible journey. Your life will change. Things will happen. Your destination will be heaven. Number one, it's for everybody. Number two, you don't have to have everything sorted out. And number three, God loves you. He gave his son. And if that's you, I just want you to pop your hand in the air right now. Just pop your hand in the air. Thank you. Hands going up all over. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Church, we're going to pray this prayer together. If you've got your hand up, just pray this prayer with me as well. Dear Lord Jesus, I know now that you're real. I know now that you love me. I've made many mistakes. I've got many things wrong. But I know that you forgive me. I recognize that you died on the cross, that you rose again. And today I give my life to you. I want to follow you. I want to know you, and I want to be re-established in relationship with the Father. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says that all of heaven celebrates when one person makes that decision. We're celebrating with you for those many people who've made that decision. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to the Audacious Church podcast. For more information, visit audaciouschurch.com.